Give it, do it, makes us older, better, faster, stronger. On 1116 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
Cause I can't wait much longer, I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger, man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya. Let's get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary on the ball tonight. And you don't give a what they all say, right? Awesome, the Christian and Christian Dior. Damn, they don't make them like this anymore. I ask, cause I'm not sure. Do anybody make real anymore? Bow in the presence of greatness. Cause right now, that has forsaken us. You should be honored by my lateness. That I would even show up to this place. So go ahead, go nuts, go ace.
Welcome to The Flame Show, Sunday the 8th of January. We get ready for a massive 2012 in the year, in the world of track and field, of course, as we're towards the London Olympic Games. And my co-host today, the person who has represented Australia at the highest level, she's captured not one but six 400-metre national championships, not one but 10 800-metre national championships. She's been a world indoor champion, one of the greatest athletes we've ever produced. You might know her as Tamsin Lewis. We now call her Tamsin Manu, my co-host. Tam, great to see you.
Good morning, Richo. How are you?
Terrific. I'm well, and it's going to be hard for me to get used to Tamsin Manu. How's married life, old bag?
At least you're saying it correctly. Everyone's naming me Manow overseas, or I think Graham gets it a bit too, so I'm getting used to it, new name, but don't tell him, but I prefer Lewis.
Lewis, well, you're synonymous with Lewis. I thought you might have stuck with your name, but I love the fact that you've embraced your husband, who is a high-profile cricketer here. It's good to see him back representing the Melbourne Renegades, playing a little bit of 2020 cricket, and they're going all right.
Yeah, I've got him across to Melbourne, and now he's playing for the Renegades. It's been fantastic.
It is good. Now, you're my co-host throughout the day, and we catch up with the latest in track and field news. We'll also chat to Ryan Gregson, one of the many Australian distance runners who's up at Falls Creek preparing for what's going to be a big domestic season. We will also be updating you on everything that is building up towards the London Olympic Games. We'll ask you a flaming question, so make sure you follow us on Twitter. Check out our website on Athletics Australia. I'll ask you a question a little bit later on. But I look at you and I say, girl, you're looking fit.
I'd like to say I'm super fit, but I had a bit of a calf injury, which I tell you what, I'm over being told that's the old person's injury. But I'm right to go. I should be back ready to race, hopefully by Newcastle.
Okay. And 800 metres, how are you going to attack this season? We know that you're proficient in the 400, elite in the 800 metres. That's always your focus, but you probably want to do enough 400 metres to keep up your speed.
Yeah, my first race will probably be a 400 at the Newcastle Hunter Classic on the 21st of January.
Yep.
And then I'll head to Adelaide to run my first 800. You know me, Richo, I've been a sprinter. I still think of myself as a sprinter. Unfortunately, I didn't develop the booty that you got to get to be the 100 metre runner. But
that's true.
But I try to stick with as many 400s as I can. And then when I know that I'm in great shape over the 400, I always figure that that first lap pace will be a lot easier. And I know that the standard's quite tough. Like when I first went to my first Olympics, it was 2.5 that made the Olympics. And now they've got it down to 159.9. And I think there's only been a couple of Aussies who've ever run that time. So it's a tough qualifier. And I hope that I can get the standard through the domestic season.
Yeah. Is your gut feel, though, that you've still got a 159 in you?
I'd like to think I've got a 158 in me. I think if I thought I still only had 159, I possibly would have retired.
Yep.
But I think at the age of 33, my athletics career is definitely coming to an end. And I think that when you still think you've got a PB in you, you keep going. And I still really believe that the training sessions that I'm doing and my coach, Justin, believes in me, and I think that I can hopefully get a personal best out before I retire.
You seem very comfortable in your own skin. You seem to know what it takes. And, of course, you should, because you're one of the most experienced athletes, one of the best athletes we've ever produced. And you've been on the national scene. I think I can remember you as a 15-year-old giggling schoolgirl. Was it 16 around that time?
I still remember you winning the store gifts. That's how long I've been around.
Good God above, the 1920s. What a golden era it was. In your 30s now, you're an elite athlete, but you're a full-time athlete. Balancing marriage, balancing life commitments, balancing changing goals, I suppose, as a 30-year-old woman.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I feel like I've grown up in the athletic world. I made my first team at the age of 15 as a schoolgirl, and now I'm hoping to make my last team in my fourth Olympics as a married woman, and you know, looking forward to that next stage of my life. But I am relaxed. I think you sort of, as you get older, you learn a lot about yourself as you're going through your career, and you know what it takes to be very good at the sport, and so you don't panic when little things go wrong, because you've hopefully by the time you get to my age, you've got a really good setup around you. You've got, you know, you've got your family all sorted, you've got your friends sorted, and you've got a great coach, and you also, you know yourself inside and out. So I think that's probably why I'm quite relaxed and comfortable. I think when I was younger, if I had hurt my calf or had an injury, I would have panicked. But yeah, I think that I've done all the hard yards, the work's in there. I've just got to go out there and perform. And the beauty of being an 800 meter runner in this country is I think that middle distance running in Australia has really come ahead leaps and bounds. Like the men's is obviously very strong, and the women's, I'm seeing these girls who are running 800s with more depth than I've ever seen as a whole in women's middle distance running, with I think there's about six girls who can run 203 and under, and that's, I've never seen that before in this country. So
that's a great call. That is exciting, and you know, we've got such a you know, a wave of young athletes coming through, which is fantastic. I think they can learn a lot from you, though. And the interesting, talking about your maturity as an athlete, perspective is another thing. You know, in this sport, and it's a tough sport, you're an individual sport, you've got nothing to, you can't hide anywhere. It's not as though, you know, you're playing footy and you've got a bit of an injury, you can go down forward and still contribute with some tackles and the like. You are out there on the track on your own, and there'll be some ups and downs.
Yeah, well, the clock doesn't lie, and the distance measurements don't lie either. So people know if you've had a good day or a bad day. But having said that, you know, if for me, I just love the sport, and that's probably the reason why I do it, and I'm still doing it. And I'm enjoying playing that role where in the women's 800, I am the older athlete. And I think the girls who I'm racing against are such great girls. I mean, Catherine Katsinavakis, who has the second fastest time on the standards from last year of the 800, she trains with me. And then there's other Victorian girls who, you know, we jump in with sessions and help each other out. And I think that's the way forward to the internationals, trying to beat them. And I tell you who does that really well is Nick Bedeau's group. Yep. You've got Ryan Gregson and Jeff Risley, who all train together.
Yeah.
And then they get out on the track and they try and beat each other. And I think that's what's going to make us, as a distance, middle distance fraternity, bridge that gap to the Africans.
I don't want to retire you off, but it's this time of the year late in your career that you probably have a chance to reflect on your career. What's the one moment that you're probably the proudest of when you look back, you know, three Olympic Games, Commonwealth gold medals? Is it the world indoors when you, you know, finally tackled and climbed the top of the mountain at a world level?
I think definitely has to be the world indoors. You have a lot of ups and downs as a sports person. And for me, it's been quite a different, strange career because the media sort of followed it, and they seem to really enjoy seeing me fail rather than succeed.
It's Australia, unfortunately.
But I find the public really supportive on the flip side, which has been one thing that's kept me going. I think for me, leading into the indoors, I'd had a tough Olympics in 2004. You know, I'd had a couple of injuries, and I really, really relied on my support network, and I'd had a coach in my brother who taught me to just basically, all you got to do is do the hard yards on the training track and believe in yourself, and whatever you can achieve, you'll achieve out there. And I never thought that I'd win a world indoor gold. I was rapt to make the final, and I think that it's a good lesson to learn that if you put yourself out there and into the position, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And I was rapt to beat Marie Mutola. She's always been that girl that I've, you know, since I've been running 800, she's won everything. And even though it was a slowly run race, I think that fell into my hands being a sprinter. I was able to kick the strongest. Yeah. And to beat her and to take the indoor goal would definitely have to be the highlight.
When you look back at your career and you've seen athletics in this country in so many different spaces, and I don't want to get controversial and get you into trouble, but do you look at athletics in this country now and think, you know what, there's a good fresh broom, there's some young athletes coming through. We've got Olympic champions in Steve Hooker. We've got Sally Pearson and Mitchell Water, who have just actually been confirmed as number one athletes in the world by the Oracle, that is the Track and Field News, that we're in a really good spot.
Oh, on the elite side, I think we're in a fantastic spot. I mean, you've said those names, but then there's Danny Samuels, a past world champion, and she's still so young. You've got Fabrice Lapierre, who's a sensational long jumper, world indoor gold medalist as well. And there's a plethora of names out there that could possibly medal at the Olympics this year. So if everything goes to plan, we could have quite a few medalists. It's a tough sport, you know, at the top in the Olympic Games. They're going to have every other athlete who wants to win.
Yeah, of course.
So it's going to be tough to win those medals. But I think the fact that we're talking about athletes as medal chance, like genuine medal chances, says that the sport's in a great position at the elite side. I'm a big fan of grassroots level at the sport. I know that I've come through an era where my parents competed. I know that my dad was trained with Peter Norman and there was huge numbers. I see pictures of him as I was growing up running at interclub meets with massive crowds at Olympic Park.
It's extraordinary, those pictures.
Completely extraordinary. And I look at the sport in 2000 and we had big crowds to the Grand Prix. And I look at the amount of people who are competing in the sport these days and it's continually dropping. And that's the main thing that I see as disappointing. And when I retire, I'd like to get more involved with the grassroots level and building the sport back up so that it is still a powerhouse that can compete with the footballs and cricket. I mean, I know cricket had problems and then they brought in 2020. You know, they adapted. And I think that track and field needs to do that as well, to take it back into the spotlight, not only every 4 years with an Olympics, but make it a sport that kids actually want to compete in and stick with.
Well, hopefully. And a lot of that comes down to financial. And I think you've summed it up perfectly. And it's a great breath of fresh air to hear that you will not be lost to the sport, that when you finish competing, you're keen to put back into a sport that's been so good to you and you've been so good to it. Now, other latest news. Now, what we do is we just give you some latest news. We're going to chat to Ryan Gregson after the break. And you, as my co-host, please, you just ask as many questions as you can. We couldn't shut Jeff Risley up. He just kept talking all the time to Shervo and I had to interrupt him. Now, other news, and we need to touch on this. Yana Pittman has split with previous longtime coach in Phil King. That's really disappointing to hear, but she's confident that a combination of a support team and her 15 years of athletics experience will be enough to fulfill her Olympic dreams. So we wish her all the best. Good to hear also that India's main anti-doping agency has got serious about drugs in sport, and 6 women athletes and 1 male long jumper have received 1 year and 2 year bans for failed drug tests. Usain Bolt, now you've seen them come and go. How good is this bloke? He is a freak. He's added further fuel to the anticipation that he will compete in Jamaica's 4x4 team in London, having announced he will run 2 400-metre races in Jamaica next month. Any advice for Usain? You've already announced that if you could run 100 and 200 quicker, you certainly wouldn't be going around 2 laps of the track.
Oh, he's a freak, isn't he? I'm not sure about this comment that he'll run the 4x4. I think he possibly will, depending on the timetable, clash with the 4x1, obviously.
He'll only run the final.
Obviously, his 4x1 team is so strong. But, I mean, he always starts the season off with 400s.
Yep.
So he's not doing anything different here.
Okay.
But he has said that he would like to step up to 400s, but I think that he's going to step up post.
But we've seen in the past, I think Mel Gainsford 1 year was just training as a 100, 200-metre runner, ran in the 4x1 and then ran a leg of our 4x4 relay team when it came to World Championships. It didn't do the heats, just did the final.
Yeah, she's an Australian record holder as the 4x4 team. So, yeah, you know, it's possible. I think basically if you're a great 200-metre runner, world-class 200-metre runner, you just have to make that 350 and hold on.
Oh, that easy. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Of course, next weekend we'll see the relays dominate the Brisbane Athletics Classic on Saturday with all quartets looking to post qualifiers for the Olympics, and as the first National Athletics Series meet to be staged in Queensland. Since the Gold Coast won the 2018 Commonwealth Games, it promises to be a sizzler. I'll do my maths. You might be a little bit too old for the 2018 Commonwealth Games. You never know. Don't rule it out. Are you going to rule it out?
Do you know, I've seen athletes win World Championship medals at 39 in the 800s.
There you go.
You never know. I'd like to pop out a few kids before then, though.
Graham will be devastated to think that you're going to keep going through to 2018. We've still got a very big show to come up. We'll chat to Ryan Gregson.
The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Work it, make it, do it, makes us older, better, faster, stronger. On 1116 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
Welcome back to The Flame. I'm joined in the studio by Tamsin Manu, and we've been going through her amazing career. And Tam, we've decided to chat to an Australian, an oceanic record holder for the 1500 metres, a young man who is certainly going places, and I know you know him well, in Ryan Gregson. You've talked about the fact that you love being a sprinter, and you just don't think the 800 metres is distance running. Otherwise, you'd probably be at Falls Creek.
Altitude training is not my thing. I don't get the distance, guys. They go up every New Year's Eve, which is party time.
Correct.
And they hang out in a group of runners and just go for runs every day.
Sit around and drink coffee. Let's find out how many lattes he's had so far this morning is Ryan Gregson, who's probably just been for a run. Ryan, great to chat to you and looking forward to a big 2012.
No, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a pretty exciting time right now. Start 2012, this is what you want to do as a little kid. And it's a pretty weird time only being, only a few months out from Olympic Games. But I'm doing all the right things up here and hopefully the next few months goes well.
Well, you're trying to turn around what's been a disappointing time since you broke that Australian and Oceanic record.
Yeah, it's been tough. Pretty much the day after I broke the record, I pretty much came down with a stress fracture in my foot, and I've had a few knock-on effects with other injuries since then. But I've been pretty thorough in diagnosis and getting over it all. And, I think I should be okay now with a lot of new strength work and adjustments to my training. And hopefully I've learned enough through that, which will actually may help me. And hopefully I should be right.
Now, you're obviously part of the Melbourne Track Club. You're under Nick Badeau as your coach. And
yep.
Nick also coaches some of the other great middle distance runners that are going around in Australian athletics at the moment. I read your Twitter page and I see that you're close friends with Jeff Risley. Is that tough when you go out to compete against him and knowing that he's trying to take that Australian record off you?
The way I see it, yeah, you could look at it that way, but the way I see it is where... only competing kind of in Australia. Like, that's where the rivalry kind of ends, because on the world stage, we've got, about 20 Kenyans that we got to beat as well. So it's not like the old days with Ko and Ovette where they were from the same country and number one and two in the world. So we're number one, two in Australia, but we've also got a lot of other guys around the world to beat. So the good thing is we're both number one and two in Australia at 1500. And the thing is, if we actually train together, hopefully we're going to spur each other on and be able to get better so we can start beating these Kenyans.
That's a great answer. You mentioned the Kenyans. Do you actually believe in your heart of hearts, and this is very important for all Australian athletes, that in your heart of hearts you can compete with these guys?
Well, it's harder, but I think on your day, we probably won't be as consistently brilliant as them, but on your day, because I've beaten them all on my day, but just I don't have as many good days as them. So that's the thing. I think if you kind of do everything right in training and you kind of just... The thing is being injury-free, because they don't seem to get as injured as much as all of us. So if you stay on the park and be able to stay injury-free, you can rock up and race well in nearly every race, I think you can do well. It's just kind of staying around.
I feel like the way you're talking, we're talking to an athlete that's been around for decades, but let's be honest, Ryan, you've just got out of diapers. You have had a lot of injuries, and you're talking about making sure that you stay injury-free. What sort of things are you doing to counteract the problems that you have encountered in the past?
Just a lot of a huge new strength program that I got on since last year when I broke down for the last time. I get a lot of injuries from rolling in on my foot strike.
Yep.
And that puts a lot of pressure on the inside of the foot and stuff. So I used to just counteract that with orthotics to stop that rolling in. But now I'm doing also different kind of stuff to stop my knee buckling in and my kind of hips buckling in. So kind of like the whole chain. And, hopefully it should work. We'll see. But I'm feeling a lot stronger and I've got a few new muscles that I haven't seen before. So hopefully...
As a 21-year-old who's been to the top of the mountain in regards to 1500 running for Australia, breaking a national record that had stood for such a long time, and Simon Doyle was a revered athlete, especially here in Australia, yet the world's still ahead of you. Are you still enjoying your athletics in amongst all the ups and downs that you've had? I mean, you've had injuries, you've articulated that. Are you still loving living the dream?
Well, that's the thing that makes me so hungry. So I got right to the top when I ran 3:31 and I was one of the best in the world, and then I pretty much got cut down the next day, and that's what makes me so hungry, just to get back to that stage, because I know I have a lot to offer, and then I'm only 21. I still feel like I've got a lot to offer over a few more years, and that's what I keep doing it for. That's what makes me hungry, and just to kind of, I had a taste of it, but now I want to, I have to do my time, and now I want to get back, and hopefully I can do it for another 10 years.
Richard, I'm not sure if you know about the Gregson family. They're quite competitive. So Christmas at the Gregsons, you have your cousin who plays hockey. I think your nana's... Your nana scored.
Roo?
Yes, she is a hockey roo. Okay.
Your nana's Casey, a hockey roo.
No. Casey, is it Casey Easton?
Casey Easton, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got Christmas with her. You've got your nana who scored two holes in one at golf.
Oh, you saw that, yeah.
I love Nan.
I've seen your nan with her trophies.
Yeah.
Backyard cricket competition at the end of Christmas. Who's the most competitive out there?
Well, not only that, my older sister just became a doctor. Medicine, just finished her medicine degree.
Well, Ryan, good luck. Thanks so much for taking time out from your training and from your downtime at Falls Creek. Keep up the hard work. We look forward to seeing you in Adelaide, and we build up towards, obviously, the Olympic trials at the Melbourne Track Classic. Hopefully, 2012 is your year.
No, thanks very much. Thanks for your show. Thanks, Tanzan.
Good on you. There he is, Ryan Gregson. He is the Australian and Oceanic record holder for the 1500 metres. He ran an amazing 3:31.06 and then has been injured since, and we wish him all the best for 2012. Also, interesting news, Tam, from the London 2012 Olympic Games, with no updates from the qualifiers from the Christmas break, but we got some good news, and that is they had a ticketing blunder over there. I don't know if you across this news at the Olympic Games. 10,000 tickets were oversold for synchronised swimming. Yes, you heard me right. Synchronised swimming. So as a result, the punters out there in the street were able to swap to their other events they had applied for, including the men's 100-metre final.
That is a win-win situation.
That's a win-win. So you've thrown in a cheap one. Oh, I'll take synchronised swimming on day whatever. And they've oversold it. And now they're having to honour their other number one selection. So the men's 100 metres will be packed.
I'd only go if the men's 100 metre runners were wearing pegs on their nose as they ran down the track.
That's exactly right. And some of the beautiful outfits that they do in synchronised swimming. Those caps, wouldn't Usain Bolt look great in one of those caps? Hey, our flaming question for today, and we give you a couple of tickets to the nearest Australian Athletics Tour event. And this question will be posted on our Facebook page. And of course, also you can follow it on Twitter with the hashtag flaming question. What was listed as Tamsin Lewis / Manu's career highlight? We spoke about it earlier on in the program today. Her career highlight, what year, what event, and where was it? We want all the details possible of her career highlight. And also, don't forget, you can see the Australian's best athletes compete next year as they look to secure their place on the London-bound team for the Olympics. We've been speaking a lot about it. Now, write these dates down. Adelaide, January 28. Perth, February 11. Arrives in Sydney, February 18. And then finishes in Melbourne. If for all our Melbourne audience, get along there. March 2 to 3, Lakeside Stadium. The IAAF Melbourne Track Classic is, of course, also incorporating with the Olympic and nomination trials. So follow us on Facebook or jump on athletics.com.au. where you'll be able to see Tamsin Manu hopefully make her fourth Olympic Games team. Are you aware of how many Australian athletes have ever competed in four Olympic Games on the track?
No, I'm not sure.
I think Simon Baker got five on the road, but four on the track is rarefied air. That's some research for you, young lady.
Yeah, I know Monteghetti's done a few, but that's off the road. And there'd be some field eventers, I'd reckon, as well.
It is an interesting stat. Maybe we might make that our flaming question for next week. Oh, gee, we're desperate to give away some tickets. Tam, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it. And we'll all be cheering loudly for you to try to make another Olympics.
Thank you, Richo.
There she is, Tamsin Manu. You've been listening to The Flame Show. Keep following us each and every Sunday morning as we build up to what's going to be fantastic. The Melbourne Track Classic is going to be awesome. Of course, the Olympic trials. So much to look forward to in the world of track and field. We've got cycling coming up next.
The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.